Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me.
We are embarking on week two of our sermon series, Anatomy of Hope. Asking the question, where do we find hope when our world is turned upside down? I was excited several weeks ago when Russ asked me to preach this week, as he is away spending time with his recent high school graduates, Jake and Ella. The idea of hope is right up my alley, the very crux of my faith. The scripture passage was interesting. The sermon title, Prisoners of Hope, got me thinking immediately. Where do I go with this? Maybe I can't be contained because I have so much hope, or perhaps if others felt imprisoned and overwhelmed, showing them hope would help them find their way out. I will be honest that today, 3 weeks after the knee of a police officer took the breath and life from George Floyd, on top of the murders of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, and countless others, all with names. And in the midst of a movement, a literal movement of people for change that is filled with power and the voices of those who have too long been silenced, I am reticent to use the term prisoner of hope. Today, I will speak the message the Spirit has called on me to share. The voices of hope who have been imprisoned too long will lead our way. And I will do my best to help us find our footing and hope in the sacred text that we hold dear. To show us how to live and how to love others and be the very hands and feet of Christ in our broken world. Our scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 31. One of the final chapters of Deuteronomy and the telling of the transition of leadership from Moses to Joshua. You see, Moses was old, and he knew it. And his time was coming to an end. God told him the same thing. In the final chapters of Moses' life, we see him retelling the story of the importance of the law, of following God, the one true God, of turning away from the worship of idols, and a call to reread the law every 7 years so no one would ever forget it. In this song of Moses, he tells of times when the people will turn away from God, and in those moments, it will appear that God's face will be hidden, but God's presence is always there. It is time for Moses to pass on leadership. You see, Moses led his people out of slavery, taught them, supported them, challenged them, rebuked them, loved them. All of this to get to the final threshold of walking into the promised land, and guess what? Someone else was going to cross the final obstacle and lead the people into that sacred place without him. Moses was not going to make it. He had done the work God called him to do. Joshua was chosen and commissioned. He was the one that would finish the journey that Moses started. Hear these words of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23. Then God commanded Joshua, son of Nun, saying, "Be strong, take courage. You will lead the people of Israel into the land I promised to give them, and I'll be right there with you." Let us pray. Powerful God, quiet our minds so that we can hear the hope you share with us. Amen. One verse today, one powerful verse, one statement from God to a new leader, one who had been alongside Moses but never actually led. Be strong, take courage, and I'll be right there with you, Joshua. Hebrew Bible scholars tell us that this verse was a divine oath made to the ancestors, to the community. Joshua will not just go with Israel, but will enable God's goal of bringing them into the land, the promised land. As your minister of children and families, and as a parent of three teenagers, I have been compelled to listen in these last weeks, to watch the painful videos of lives being taken, to hear voices that don't always make it to the top of my Twitter feed, to seek them out, to read, to study, to begin to put words to the harm that I myself have created in a system that I accepted and understood as being equal and okay. I believed I was raising my children well, with conversations about race. I remember being proud and patting myself on the back for my amazing parenting when my youngest daughter, Whitney, was 3 or 4 and described a black friend as the one with a blue shirt, you know, and darker skin. I thought I was doing my best parenting by teaching my children that all people are equal. All are children of God. All are loved by God. And I wholeheartedly believe that message is true and full of hope. But what I did not know then that I know now was that when I made the world colorless for my children, I denied the very black and brownness of others that kept my own children and myself from truly recognizing the breath that was being taken out of an entire community. So now, I sit in a community of mostly white faces, wondering what to do next, listening to the scriptures, searching for sacred words to lead the way. Here are some things I'm learning from the voices that I believe in this moment are commissioned by God to take our community into the next steps, to never forget, just as God commissioned Joshua to lead. This week, the Southwest region of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, conducted a webinar entitled Dismantling Racism, Part 1. It was hosted by Reverend Verzola Law, the black female senior minister of Northway Christian Church in Dallas. A panel of black and white pastors considered questions facing our congregations today as we discuss racism. Pastor Law reminded us at the outset that conversation is a prayer. And she added, "We are dismantling racism one breath at a time, because the breath was taken from a black man. All of this does not only hurt black people, but every human on this soil. When the question of why now, why do we care now? Why are some of our communities paying attention now? Why are we looking for answers and observing our own lives now?" Reverend Camilla Hall Sharp told us that it's because you need a memory. That's how it works. And this memory, we are finally paying attention to. It's going to take us remembering to keep us continuing to the end, she said. This is longevity work that will require you to remember what has happened to other people. Reverend Dr. Irie Lynn Session told the group that we have to cultivate bravery. She said, "I am particularly speaking to our white sisters and brothers to cultivate an epic of bravery. There is no way that racism can be dismantled and deconstructed without bravery. The Bible said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power. Joshua was given the spirit of power. The early Christians were doing the work of ministry against unsurmountable odds. They risked torture, death, alienation from their family and friends to follow Jesus. They were brave. What if we were brave? What if we recognized the longevity of the work we have before us to deconstruct systems that keep others from experiencing the fullness of humanity that God has called each of us to experience? Moses led the Israelites through the deepest, darkest valleys, promised a land of milk and honey, and never saw it himself. He reminded us that sometimes it seems that God's face is hidden, but God is still there. I have no idea what the result of this bravery might look like, but maybe it's time that we, the people who follow Christ, recognize that we are commissioned by God to be strong, to take courage, to be brave, and to know that God is right there with us all along, even when it appears God's face is hidden. We can step into uncomfortable spaces to listen, learn, grow, act, and transform the world. I was having a conversation this week with a friend about our jobs, our children, and how we are hurting because we realize the pain that we have caused in others' lives without intention. My friend and educator told a story about several years ago when she was working with young men who were trapped in underperforming schools with no accelerated learning programs to prepare them for college. The program brought these young men together, and she had the privilege of working with them. In the course of the experience with these students, she provided a scenario for them to discuss and consider, but there was a disconnect. The students couldn't understand what she was asking, and they didn't respond in the way she anticipated. Confused on both sides, she was about to give up when one brave student spoke up and said, "We don't understand this. In our communities, we don't have experiences like this. What you're asking us makes no sense." My friend left that day in tears with the realization that she had not considered how a typical experience for her might look different through another's lens. And she moved on. When all of the events following the death of George Floyd occurred, the experience came to mind again. And she went on a quest to learn, to read, to attempt to understand the very systems upon which she was unaware, to understand how they worked and how she was a part of them. She told me the story that after several days of immersing herself in this learning and listening, she went to the grocery store. She was checking out, and a black woman was the cashier. Everything was finished being checked out, and as she reached for the receipt, she made eye contact with that cashier. And the words came from her mouth, "Your life matters." "What did you say?" the cashier asked. My friend didn't know if she couldn't hear her through the mask that she was wearing, or that maybe she just wanted to hear her say it again. So she did, much louder this time, surrounded by other customers. "Your life matters to me." In that moment, the cashier walked out from behind her plexiglass barrier, and they embraced. My friend, quiet and thoughtful, had stepped into a moment of bravery. She listened to the Spirit of God moving in the moment, and it mattered. I'm not saying that this is the way we deconstruct the issues of racism, but I am saying that this is the way we listen to the Spirit guiding us so that we can. To do our work, to read and have prayerful conversations with the voices that have been unheard for so long. To always be certain that we are in line with the work and teachings of Jesus, who loved all, who broke down barriers, and who changed lives even when it was uncomfortable. We need Joshuas right now, the leaders who will take us into the promised land with no promises that we will do it all well, because we won't. But we can try. We can remember, we can act, we can be brave. And we will know that in the face of all of it, God is with us, carrying us, loving us, holding us. Austin Channing Brown, the author of I'm Still Here, the book we are encouraged to read as a congregation and discuss later this week, said this: "Our commitment to racial justice and anti-racism requires we dig into the muddiness of humanity, reckoning with the worst of our humanity as we call out its best. This work is not for the faint of heart. It requires hope. Not a hope founded on good feelings or good intentions, but hope that demands. For hope is risky, relentless, rooted in our certainty that love will win." Love will win. Be strong. Take courage. Be brave. For God is with us always. And that is our hope. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.